This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Healthy Aging, providing you with the unique energy support of Pure NT Factor. NT Factor is the only nutritional formula clinically proven to reduce fatigue, whatever the cause, whether it be age, illness, or just being run down. NT Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. Clinical trials have shown NT Factor reduces fatigue by almost half, and it even reverses some symptoms of aging. I've been taking NT Factor for years with a 45-day money-back guarantee of nothing to lose. To order, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158. Or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and with me today is our nutritionist in residence, Layla Mutin. That's why we call this Q&A with Layla, for self-explanatory reasons, right?
Yeah.
Because it's a Q&A, wherein you send questions to us via radio program at AOL.com, and we A them, we answer them together, ensemble.
We A the Qs.
We A the Qs. And so...
With me!
With you, Layla. So that explains it. For those of you who are new initiates to this, many of you are Intelligent Medicine Podcast aficionados. You've heard many of these. So before we get into questions, here's a study which I really find pretty fascinating. Amid all the controversy over omega-3 fatty acids, you know, we've seen a lot in the New York Times, I think, ran an article that they're useless.
Yeah.
Don't take them. Don't bother. The science is poor.
Mm-hmm.
This notwithstanding the fact that they invented a drug that is a synthetic EPA. It's actually bioidentical, but it's a synthetic version. Vascepa.
Yeah.
And that reduces cardiovascular disease risk by 25%. But the kind that you get in a health food store, no, that's no good because it's not prescription.
Right.
And
they're both fish oil, but it's not prescription. Therefore, it's no good.
It's much less profitable. It's only about 35 bucks a month, and the stuff that you get from your prescription, that's about 380 bucks a month.
Wow.
So anyway, now we're looking at a study. The study's from the British Medical Journal, which is a very mainstream, authoritative medical journal. Nothing flaky about the BMJ.
Yeah.
I read it frequently to harvest nuggets. And the headline of this, it's actually an editorial. Omega-3 polyunsaturated fatty acids and healthy aging. Now, it's very interesting because I've never seen a study that studies healthy aging. I've seen studies that study prevention of a disease like diabetes or studies that look at longevity.
Yeah.
But this is a very unique study in that it looks at Healthy aging. So it starts with the premise populations around the world are living longer. Okay, great, we're living longer. But are we having healthy aging? Are we living by virtue of the fact that we're getting operations and surgery and multiple drugs and the quality of life is,
and everything,
so that's called unhealthy aging. I mean, we may live to a longer time, but that's sort of unhealthy aging. So what they defined as healthy aging is... or unhealthy aging, they reviewed a bunch of medical records and they determined that 89% of participants in the study experienced unhealthy aging during follow-up. That's not good.
Wow.
Only 11% experienced healthy aging. I would like to think that I fit the criteria of healthy aging. By the way,
totally.
The age cutoff was age 65 or older. So now I'm officially in that cohort. I would say I'm in that minority of 11% experiencing healthy aging. Defined as survival without major chronic diseases and without cognitive or physical dysfunction. So I will attest to the fact that I have no physical dysfunction or chronic diseases. Would you venture to offer an opinion as to whether I have any cognitive dysfunction?
You have no cognitive dysfunction that I've witnessed. No.
Thank you. You're a keeper.
Yes.
We'll keep you on as
Thank you.
Okay. And some of my listeners may have different opinions of that. But anyway, then interestingly in the study, I mean, first finding is that the majority of people over 65, 89% of them have unhealthy aging. So that in itself is kind of an interesting finding.
Yeah.
But it was found that the group with the highest mean concentrations of eicosapentaenoic acid from seafood,
mm-hmm. which is EPA.
EPA, had a 24% lower risk of unhealthy aging than the group with the lowest concentrations.
Huh.
Now, you know, what that, I mean, translation of statistics is that taken fish oil is not a 100% bulwark against unhealthy aging.
Yeah.
But it does reduce your chances of having unhealthy aging.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And by the way, the DHA from seafood and alpha-linolenic acid from plants were not associated with healthy aging.
Yes.
So not that they're worthless.
No.
But, you know, they have benefits, but, you know, not in terms of the criteria here for healthy aging. So blah, 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 blah. You know.
Specifically from eating seafood?
Yeah. They say, well, I don't know that they looked at people's intake of supplements.
Right.
They say here, we live in challenging times when lifespans are increasing, but healthy lifespans are not.
Huh.
Okay.
I think we
managed to sustain life
mm-hmm.
longer,
mm-hmm.
but the quality of life may be poor for people who undergo
right.
multiple surgical interventions and mm-hmm. multiple medical interventions that make them feel kind of
right.
devitalized.
Yes.
And quality of life suffers.
Right. And more disability mm-hmm. later on as well
yeah.
as a result. So.
Ergo. Eat your oily fish.
Eat your oily fish.
And
make sure
perhaps
it's clean.
Hedge your bets by taking a fish oil.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That you know is going to be distilled. That's going to be purified.
Molecularly distilled, high quality.
That's going to be purified,
and,
yes.
And not rancid.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Let's get to questions.
Okay. Oh. Speaking of questions, this is somebody who reads the Intelligent Medicine newsletter.
Which you should all subscribe to, very easy.
Yes.
Go to
drhoffman.com and you can subscribe. You can unsubscribe at any time. And it's free.
And it's free.
Right. Dr. Hoffman, you wrote that article, Are Balance of Nature Fruit and Veggie Pills as Effective as They Claim? And Rob wrote, Dr. Hoffman is providing a valuable service in exposing Dr. Howard and his Balance of Nature product.
Mm-hmm.
For those of us who formulate evidence-based nutraceuticals and adhere to FTC regulations in our marketing, it is infuriating to constantly hear their totally illegal radio commercials. Now,
yeah.
Rob is in
now,
marketing.
And I know Rob. And
yeah.
you know, I think Rob and I have been in this field for a really long time, and Rob's been on the radio. He also did a radio program on WOR when I was on WOR.
Okay.
And, you know, he's a veteran of this field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what I think is interesting about that comment, by the way, thanks, Rob, for chiming in with your agreement and approval. This field is, I mean, for some of us, I think it's an embarrassment when products get touted with outlandish claims.
Yes.
And there's no other way to describe it.
Yeah.
For this product, which is running a carpet bombing on mm-hmm. radio, AM radio, the claims are absolutely over the top. And frankly, I guess there's just not enough people at FTC and FDA. Not that I'm a great fan of
yes.
you know, government regulation.
Right.
But, you know, we're so careful to make what are called qualified claims under DSHEA, which
yeah.
is the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act,
mm-hmm.
where we can say that a supplement helps to support, optimal musculoskeletal function.
Yes.
But we can't say this supplement cures your rheumatoid arthritis.
Or it's cures your MS nine years
right.
into it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Or
which is the ad yeah. I hear a lot on WOR.
Right, and some very strange things. I mean, there's one guy, he had like some exploding, you know, arterial catastrophe, and, you know, he was in the intensive care unit and paralyzed, and then he started taking this stuff.
Balance of Nature.
And he's great. He's off all his meds, and he's like, it's like fantastic. No. Please do not tarnish the reputation of our industry.
Yeah.
Or those of you who hear these commercials, please don't group us in with these just people who...
Who are dishonest.
Frankly.
Yeah.
Just call it what
just
it is.
Just dishonest.
Call it what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, I have to say, enough clients have come in and asked me about it. Is that Balance of Nature stuff really true? And I told them what I think. I've heard the ad about, you know, and I said, honestly.
You know, I think it was Goebbels, who was the propaganda minister
yes.
of Germany. And he coined
yes,
a phrase Goebbels. Or something about, he said something about the big lie. If you repeat it enough, people will believe it.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what, I mean, after a while people said that it, I mean, maybe it's not it's that good, but it must be pretty good.
Exactly.
For them to say that.
Exactly. That's how advertising works. Constant bombardment too.
Yeah, it's just a pill that contains propaganda. Dehydrated vegetable material.
Yeah.
And the labeling is not even very comprehensive there in terms of what you're getting. Mm-hmm. There's no declaration of the vitamin mineral content of that. Mm. And, you know, supplements generally you see, you know, how much A, how much B, how much C. No, it just says that it has some of these vegetables. It doesn't even tell you the proportion.
Yeah.
It might be more of the cheap vegetables than the more expensive ones in there.
Yes.
It's just a very weird pitch. And I mean, I debated for a while, you know, should I really get out there and do that? Because it's sort of like calling out my own industry.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, I just have to comment on this. And I think it's resonated with so many people. I got so much positive feedback from people who said, thank you for verifying what I've long suspected, which is that these are over-the-top claims.
Yeah. Yeah. Bravo, Dr. Hoffman.
So read the article.
Yes.
The article you can find at
drhoffman.com.
Yeah.
So thank you, Rob, for that email. Okay. We have an email from Ignatius. Dear Dr. Hoffman and Layla, I just finished reading your article about nicotinamide riboside and NAD. I too have been researching the supplement for some time, and I found another related supplement called nicotinamide mononucleotide, or NMN.
Yep.
There seems to be controversy. Some people are saying that the nicotinamide mononucleotide is more bioavailable than nicotinamide riboside.
So help me out with that, because I've actually seen that.
There are key differences.
I don't really understand the argument behind NMP. I know that nicotinamide riboside has a lot of studies behind it.
Mm-hmm.
How robust is the research on NMP?
Not as robust as for nicotinamide riboside. First of all, nicotinamide riboside is a vitamin, and nicotinamide mononucleotide is not.
Oh.
So there is one difference right there.
As defined by an essential thing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's shown in multiple human studies to effectively increase NAD levels. You don't see that with nicotinamide mononucleotide.
Oh.
Let's just call it NMN for my not tripping over my own tongue.
Okay.
NMN is not a form of vitamin B3, and there are no clinical trials to prove that it increases NAD in humans. It's also not the type of molecule that would ever be considered as a vitamin, as it contains a phosphate, which affects its ability to enter cells. So nicotinamide riboside can enter cells, but NMN cannot. It sounds like I'm saying M&M like the rapper.
Right.
So I want to make a distinction there. Now, the NMN makes NAD in three steps, but the nicotinamide riboside, the real thing, requires only two.
Okay.
That's another thing.
Okay.
And nicotinamide riboside has four published human clinical trials. The other product has zero.
Oh, really?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
And rely on that?
Yes. The nicotinamide riboside increases NAD by up to 60% in humans.
That's
been demonstrated. The other product does not. So there's no published data. Bottom line, there's no published data to show how NMN affects human NAD levels.
So what's the claim? What are the NMN? This is what this is what the nicotinamide riboside people say about NMN.
Yes.
What do the NMN people say?
They're saying
to distinguish it as something superior to nicotinamide riboside.
And not to confuse it with the previous question, but there's a company called Alive by Nature, not Balance of Nature, Alive by Nature, that's saying that the nicotinamide mononucleotide is more bioavailable.
Right.
And that is the form to be taken.
But without a lot of substantiation.
Exactly. Exactly. There's really no rigor
there
at all. Nicotinamide riboside also has three FDA safety notifications.
Okay.
NMN has none.
Okay.
So, nicotinamide riboside has at least four published trials confirming that it's safe for humans. The other product does not.
Right.
So that's really the bottom line.
Okay.
On all of that.
Well,
so,
unless we hear something super encouraging
exactly.
from the NMN people, we're not going to jump on that bandwagon.
Right, right. And we're not talking about the rapper here, folks. Right. Okay. Thank you for that, Ignatius. Carmen writes, Dear Dr. Hoffman, what are your thoughts on parathyroid hormone injections?
Okay.
What are your thoughts?
First of all,
That's Forteo?
What is it? Yeah, it's a brand name Forteo.
Okay.
Which is it's a synthetic mm-hmm. copycat mm-hmm. of parathyroid hormone or PTH. And, you know, what's kind of interesting is that PTH is associated, when it's too high, it's associated with osteoporosis.
Ah.
It causes hypercalcemia.
I see.
And you need an operation to take out one of your parathyroid glands
okay.
when you have that. But interestingly, when you take it as an injection, it does something to sort of gently stimulate bone growth.
Okay.
And actually studies do show that it increases bone density.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, from the standpoint that it is something natural,
okay.
I mean, it's unnatural to inject it, but mm-hmm. it is a natural compound, and it does have an action on bone that is proven. It's, as a medication, mm-hmm. it's maybe preferable to some of the more artificial medications out there, such as the bisphosphonates like, you know, Actonil and Beneva mm-hmm. and Fosamax and Reclast. And then there's, of course, Prolia, which is a synthetic.
Okay.
And it, you know, not natural. So, but the downside is that in animal studies, Forteo caused abnormal bone growth and bone cancer, osteosarcoma, which is a devastating cancer. When you get osteosarcoma, it's very hard to treat it except with an amputation. And even then, it doesn't always, you know, be kept, it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a result, the FDA put a black box warning on it and said it cannot be used for more than 2 years. So there's no approval for more than 2 years. Now, it's not been reported in humans that this medication causes bone cancer.
But it's not been reported that it doesn't.
Put it this way. It's not been used over a long enough period to see that emerge. With the safety precaution, they can only use it for 2 years.
Yeah.
Which is a limitation. I mean, you're going to get some bone improvement, but then you can't keep using it. So you're going to get some bone improvement.
And then what happens?
And then you have to stop.
Yeah.
The other thing is, it's very expensive.
Uh-oh.
It's, you know, hundreds of dollars per month.
Okay, Vascepa, the fish oil prescription, was, what, $380 a month? What is the price?
I can look up the latest price.
Oh my goodness!
It's expensive.
And this is for Forteo.
Yeah, Forteo cost.
Uh huh.
Is let's see the latest. While I'm saying that, while I'm looking that up, here's a patient assistance program where they say that you could get it for as little as $4 a month. That sounds like kind of a come on. It's an ad.
Uh-huh.
But the cost for Forteo is around $3,448 for a supply of 2.4 milliliters, which is probably going to last you for a while.
That's a month's expenses for a lot of people.
The lowest GoodRx price for the most common version of Forteo is around $3,280. And I don't know how long that lasts you.
Huh.
So that's pretty expensive. And it also has to be injected, self-injected on a daily basis.
Oh, my.
Which is a bit of a, diabetics have to do that. They're fine with that. But, you know, a medication you have to do on a daily basis is kind of cumbersome. So, and that's why I'm very much in favor of natural alternatives. If someone fails to respond to the natural approaches using Austenol and strontium and mm-hmm. Ostera and vitamin K and vitamin D, et cetera,
et
cetera.
And
olive leaf. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, maybe Forteo is a reasonable alternative.
Yeah. Aren't some of the side effects of these injectables also bone pain?
Yeah, some of these actually cause like an achiness. Like, and the, I think the best way to describe that is when you were a kid, did you ever have growing pains?
I had...
Because I know I had growing pains. I had like aches in my body. And literally, kids grow a discernible amount in over a short period of time. Like 3 to 6 months, you can see people grow like up to an inch.
I grew 4 inches in my 11th year.
That's a big stress.
I don't remember pain, but
yeah.
I remember.
Well, I remember. I had, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they were growing what were termed growing pains, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it's literally stretching of the bones.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's not an uncommon effect of any of the medications that mm-hmm. cause bone to develop.
Well, that's something to also look for. So, Carmen. Thank you very much for your question.
Yeah.
Ah, this is a good one. This is from Rosemary. Do digestive enzymes interfere with the INR values when you're taking Coumadin? Mm. I have LPR, laryngeal esophageal reflux.
LPR.
And I'm trying to be good to my digestive tract. However, there is a warning on the vegetable-based enzymes. Do I have to be careful with digestive enzymes? Probably you have to, if you're already taking digestive enzymes and you're taking Coumadin, have your INR checked.
Yeah.
If everything is fine, you can continue making a difference that way.
I'm not sure why that would be. Is there a...
I'm just thinking enzymes themselves are going to have a bone thing in it. I'm doing a Pac-Man with my hands.
But is it going to affect the medication?
I wouldn't think it would affect the medication, but the thinning of the blood in itself.
I don't think that it's not like you have to stop digestive enzymes before surgery, I don't think.
No.
And also there's like
point.
Wobenzyme, for example. Is that a blood thinner? Really?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't know.
The way to tell is
to just, you know, take them and mm-hmm. see if it changes the INR.
Right.
And then don't take them and see if the INR changes. And, you know, probably not.
Yeah. It's not like, I would say to Rosemary, it's not like having, you know, 5 servings of kale or broccoli a day.
Which antagonizes the warfarin.
Yeah. Which would be too much. Yeah. You want to cut that down to like 2 of those particular vegetables.
That's where the problem comes in with Coumadin.
Yeah.
And other studies have shown that it's safe to take fish oil with Coumadin. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't cause more bleeding episodes. Even though fish oil could be a bit of a blood thinner, but it doesn't seem to...
You know what I'm thinking of? Maybe I'm thinking of natokinase.
Yeah, you're thinking of natokinase
enzyme,
as an enzyme.
Yeah.
Yes, and natokinase actually is a source of vitamin K.
Ah, okay.
Natto is a source of vitamin K.
Natto is vitamin K, yes.
And that's why also aged cheese as well has vitamin K.
Yeah.
And aged soy has vitamin K from the natto. So
these are the sources
now,
of K.
Now, some of the digestive enzymes, you're thinking along similar lines to what I was thinking, mm-hmm. they are fermented products.
Yeah.
So could they contain some vitamin K? Actually, some digestive enzymes come from aspergillus.
Yes.
And aspergillus is actually what's used to make natto.
So if
you have vegetarian enzymes, mm-hmm. maybe there's some vitamin K in there.
Okay.
You know, that's, I think, where that could come in.
Yes.
But not as an excessive blood thinner, as a antagonist to Coumadin to thicken the blood in this case.
There we go.
To reduce the INR or the bleeding time.
Okay.
And so I'm just making making that up, and I don't know that that's...
No, that's a good critical thinking.
Yeah. But I think animal-sourced digestive enzymes mm-hmm. would not have that, but there are a lot of vegetarian sources.
And she's talking about the plant-based
enzyme. Yeah, the plant-based, right.
The plant-based
enzymes.
Some
people prefer, you know.
Yeah. Rosemary, that's really good thinking on your part. That's really something too. All right. So have your INR checked?
Yeah. You're
okay.
Right, while you
take them.
Yeah.
Thank you for your question.
Okay. Good point at which to pause because we divide these podcasts into 2 parts. And so we'll return with part 2 and give us a little preview of what we're going to tackle in part 2.
Oh, my mother's C-reactive protein is high and she has a fever and she's had to have 2 surgeries to remove the water from around her heart.
Okay, we'll address that concern in part 2 of today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla. We'll be right back.